We're back on the Farm Show on KLGR 1490 and FM 95.9. I'm being joined by Shannon Gegner from the NRCS here in Redwood Falls. How's it going today?
It's going pretty good. Going pretty good.
Good. So we're going to talk a little bit about cover crops today. I know it's something that's been getting more and more attention around here. And what kind of information can we give some of the listeners out here?
So really, I wanted to kind of just generally talk about cover crops. I know, yeah, it has been in a lot of, you know, publications, and I know the corn growers are pushing it a lot, and so are some of the canning companies. I just really wanted to talk a little bit about it, you know, and really encourage those people who are kind of on the fence to do it. You know, you don't have to go, you know, all in to start off. You know, cover crops is something where it's not like you're going no-till or you're having to do something where it's like super intense right away. You're either all the way in, all the way out. Cover crops, if you just want to do oats, you know, you don't have to go all the way to the, you know, 15, 20, 30 species custom mixes, you know,
unless
that some
really
people do.
To.
Unless you really want to. If you just want to jump right in both feet, you totally can. But for a lot of people, you know, it's just the, you know, maybe start with a 3 or 4 species in a mix. Maybe something that winter kills. That's something that we hear in my office a lot is people who are super, super concerned that they're going to have to deal with a mess in the spring. And really, that's not the case if you choose a right cover crop mix. Okay. So really, if you're thinking about doing cover crops, really what you have to do is think about what you want to get out of the cover crop. If you're a livestock producer and you want to graze it, then that's what you target your species at. If you want to put more nutrients in the ground, you know, then you want to have legumes. So that it dictates what is actually in your cover crop mix. Okay. And the same thing, if you want something that terminates from the frost, you know, then we need to pick species that are going to do that for you. So then you don't have to do a burn down in the spring. But if you do want something growing in the spring, well, let's put some ryegrass or something out there. So that's something that's going to be growing in the spring. So then you can either crimp it down, you can plant right into it. So you have that cover. So those really erodible areas, those really nutrient poor areas, you know, then you can have something there in the spring that's growing. And then you can plant right into it. So it all really depends on what you want to get out of your cover crop and just can tailor a mix to do that. Our office can help you to an extent. You know, we're not experts
right.
in cover crops.
But get
crops.
You kind of pointed in the right
We can kind of get you pointed in the right direction. And really, we do know some really good cover crop vendors, some out of South Dakota and some locally, that we can kind of point you towards that can really get you pinpointed into what cover crop mix to use. I do want to mention, too, something that people don't usually think about until it's too late is your herbicide regime that you're using can really affect the cover crops that you're using. Because cover crops, most of them really aren't, they're not Roundup ready.
Right.
They're not resistant to anything. So anything that has a really, really long residual could lead to problems, you know, especially some mixes that we've recommended in the past and stuff have had clover. Well, we're finding out that clover is super susceptible to whatever we're doing out
right,
there
exactly.
because it's not coming up for anything.
Right.
So, you know, we're learning as we go, just like everybody else is. And that's something to keep in mind, too, with the cover crops. It is a learning process. You're not going to go out there and everything's going to work out perfectly every year. But neither does farming.
Right.
So it's just something where to put it in your system, you just have to kind of work through it.
You know, one example I had heard when we were at the State Cattlemen's Tour, and there was a gentleman at one of the stops talking about cover crops, showing erosion rates with a little table they had from the University of North Dakota, I believe. And when he was talking about it, he said, don't expect that you're going to get miracle results with cover crops in the first year. You've got to give them some time to establish. You know, the first year, he goes, might be horrible, and you might think, what did I get myself into? You've got to see it through.
Yep, keep going with it, and then you'll see it, you know, especially with things like organic matter. Stuff like organic matter does not turn around in a year, 2 years, 5 years. It's a long-term issue, a long-term thing that you need to recover from. You know, you didn't lose your organic matter overnight. You're not going to gain it overnight. The same thing with soil structure and other things. The soil is very slow moving, we'll call it organism, you know. It does not change very fast. So when you start changing stuff, it does take a while to notice. And, you know, and in certain situations, you know, where people learning, you know, it's but with carbon to nitrogen ratios and stuff out there, with stuff breaking down, you don't want something that breaks down super fast and you're stuck with a bare soil just like you tilled it. And, you know, there's just learning process to go through it. And so, yeah, that guy was totally right.
Mm-hmm. So definitely want to make sure that the farmers, if they're interested in learning more about it, you know, come in and talk to you guys. Like you said, if you'll have some answers, get them pointed in the right direction, and hopefully get them on to somebody who can really analyze what they want to do on their ground, what's going to work for their ground, so that way they are going to get the most out of it, so they hopefully won't see a year or two of frustration before things start to really take hold.
And I definitely would encourage people, there are field days in our county and surrounding counties that pop up regularly. Every few months there's some, you know, with either the cattlemen's or soil and water districts are putting them on, or different entities and stuff. I would really encourage you just to take the time out of your day and just see it, where you can see the erosion model, like the rainfall simulator and stuff. You can see those things, and it puts a lot of it into perspective of what's going on in your field. You can see, you know, what these changes could possibly do. So I would definitely turn those, encourage those people to go to those days.
So if people want to get more information or start getting pointed in the right direction, how do they get a hold of you, Shannon?
So I'm in the NRCS office, which is co-located with the Soil and Water Conservation District, and the USDA Service Center that is two doors down from McDonald's, or right next to the Mexican restaurant. Or you can reach us on the telephone at 507-637-2427.
All right. Thank you very much, Shannon, for coming in.
Yeah, thanks.
That's Shannon Gegner from the NRCS here in Redwood Falls. We'll be back on the Farm Show right after this.